Hello and welcome to the Lost Skills Podcast, where we believe if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. And today's episode is episode number 40. Today's episode is going to be about basic car care. But first, there's time for a little personal news and maybe some updates on the site. Friday I went to go work on my pickup truck while I went to take my kid to her grandma's house. I went to there, dropped the kid off, was coming back, and I had a bird feeder that my dad had brought me that a bear had squished. It was one of them screen ones. So I had took it to work and I had fixed it. And I stopped by my mom's store to drop it off for my dad. Well, I stopped and I talked to my mom for a little bit and I got my car and it kind of stumbled and then it quit and then just crank, nothing would happen. Well, come to find out, the fuel pump went dead on it. And I guess I can't really complain about the fuel pump going to hell because I got 210,000 miles on a 1999 Oldsmobile Bravada, so that's a long time for a fuel pump to work. Some people don't even get 150,000 or 120,000. And the fuel pump is a job that I do fully intend to do myself, and I'll probably take some pictures and maybe put it up on the new website or something like that, get a little content going over there. The one thing is that, boy, I found out that a fuel pump for a 99 Olds Bravada is about $250. I searched all over the internet. They go anywhere from like $400 to like $225. So like $400 to $225, which is really pricey. And I'm like, why is it so much? Well, I found out that the fuel pump is an assembly with the gas sender so that it all comes as a unit. Well, I found like a rebuild kit or something for $60. Well, I was searching around on the internet and I found a website that actually sold the whole sender, the fuel pump and all that as a unit, and I think it was $68 and it had a year warranty. So it's not very hard to think of what I went with. Another interesting thing about my Oldsmobile is it has a plastic gas tank. I think it's the first vehicle that I ever owned that actually had a plastic tank and not a metal one. And actually, I've never had to pull a fuel tank apart to change a sender or anything of that in all the years that I've had vehicles, which is kind of odd because I know people run into it, but I just haven't had that problem. But anyhow, instead of working on my truck, then I had to sit there and try to figure out how I was going to get my Olds Bravada home. Well, I went and got my car dolly out, and of course it had two flat tires and a missing valve stem, so I couldn't use that. Well, my in-laws were going through with their car trailer to get some wood pellets, so they threw it on there and brought it back to my house for me, so that was kind of nice of them. But with that being said, I finally got my S10 pickup done because that's the only vehicle I have to drive now besides my full-size Chevy truck, and that wouldn't get very good gas mileage, and it would hurt the pocketbook with fuel prices the way they are today. Another thing I'd like to mention is if you check out the new website, I put up a few more of the older posts from the Podbean site, so I think I'm up to number 17 now on the new site, so slowly working towards getting everything caught up. And I know I could have had HostGator do that for me, but I just wanted to do it myself to get a little practice, so now that I'm getting pretty good at it, I did like, I think, 6 of them today or something, so it went pretty fast. The only problem I'm having is trying to find time to get some posts up, so maybe, hopefully, I'll get a few more up tomorrow or something. Another thing that I'm doing is I'm kind of experimenting with using my MP3 player's digital recorder to record some content for you guys, because I sit around at work for 5 or 10 minutes before the day starts, so maybe I'll get some stuff recorded and get it posted up. The sound quality will probably be quite a bit worse than this, so I don't know. I have to see how it works out. Another thing I'd like to discuss is if anybody has any ideas what to do for episode number 50, either send me an email or go to Facebook and post it up on there. And I kind of want to get some ideas together of what to do for episode 50 if you guys want to email in and I read some emails or something like that. I don't know. I really haven't thought anything, but I'd like to do something for my 50th episode. But with that all being said, that's enough for the news and, I guess, updates, so let's get right into our main topic. The first thing I'd like to talk about is doing your own oil change. There are a lot of different reasons you might want to do your own oil change. For one, maybe you don't trust the dummies down at the Quick Lube. And if anybody works at a Quick Lube, I'm sorry, but every time I go to a Quick Lube, I have really bad trouble, so I just quit going there altogether. The first trouble I had with a Quick Lube was that they never grease your grease fittings underneath your car. Because actually, unlike most people, I do go under and check later on. Like, you know, if I get to work and then I crawl under the car and see if there's any new grease at the ball joints or anything like that. The other problem is sometimes the person just isn't, I guess, all that into doing what they're doing. I mean, I guess it's like any other job. It gets old and boring and stuff. One time I had it where they didn't tighten my drain plug and I got to work and I had lost 2 quarts of oil. And I only work about, oh, I don't know, maybe a quarter of a mile away from the place I had them change my oil. So needless to say, I never went back to that one again. And another reason you might want to change your own oil is maybe you just want to have control over what goes into it, what kind of filter you use or whatever like that. I used to use Fram filters and stuff until I took one apart one time and I realized how kind of crappy they are. And then I took a good filter apart and it was like a world of difference. So I kind of try to go with Wix filters now because they are a lot better than a Fram and they actually ain't that much more money. But back to using a different type of oil or something, I used a full synthetic oil in my old Spravada when my wife was driving that back and forth to her job in Green Bay. And we were using the Mobil 1 Extended Performance, and it was $15,000 between oil changes guaranteed. So we were running at about 10,000 or 12,000 miles, and then I would change the oil. Otherwise, I was changing her oil every two and a half weeks, depending on how much driving she was doing. And it was just killing our pocketbook to change that much oil and that many filters that often. So we went with the Extended Performance, and we started buying the good Wix filters, and we started putting them on there. And her car has 210,000 at least on the odometer, and that goes to prove how good synthetic oil can be to your engine. We've had her Oldsmobile since about 70,000 miles, so that just tells you how many oil changes I've actually done on that thing since we've owned it. Another component of you wanting to do this yourself might be that you want to use better grease and stuff on your ball joints. If you go to a Quick Lube place, they're just going to use the cheapest grease that they can get their hands on that comes out of a 55-gallon drum. And if they do offer the synthetic, they'll probably charge you more for the synthetic grease anyway. But I mean, you can go to somewhere like Fleet Farm or Farm and Fleet or any kind of farm store that you might have around your area, and you can go get good synthetic grease for probably $6 a tube or maybe a little more. But a tube of that lasts a long, long time. Back to my wife's car as an example, I only greased her ball joints and her U-joints and stuff like that every time I did an oil change, which was every 12,000 miles, which is way past what's usually recommended. It just goes to show you that if you use a good kind of grease, then everything will last a long time. I replaced the U-joints on her vehicle at about 160,000 miles, and I think I changed the ball joints right around the same time, so that was a factory original ball joint from 0 miles to about 160,000. So enough of the why, let's get on with the how to do it. Well, when you jack your car up, the one thing you're going to need is jack stands. That's a definite must. If you're jacking the vehicle up, you got to have jack stands. Or you can use wheel ramps. I have some, I don't know if they're plastic or composite, tire ramps from Walmart I bought. I think I paid like $30 for them. Now I don't remember what the weight rating is on them, but they were more than enough to handle my full-size pickup truck, so anybody with a car out there should have no problem. The only problem you might have with a car is if you have a very low-riding car, you might have a hard time to get it up the ramps without scraping, so that in that case you might want to use a jack and some jack stands. I would recommend the wheel ramps also for beginners because it's a lot easier to get the cars up on the ramps and stuff. You just kind of drive it up there and you drive really slow and you feel for that little bit of bump and then the tires just kind of cradle in the little cradles in the ramps. Now back to jacks. If you're going to jack a car up, a good floor jack is the way to go. You don't want to use one of them crappy jacks that come up with your spare tire and crap. Those things are just useless. They're only there to get you off of the side of the road. So get yourself a good floor jack or a good bottle jack or something like that. And then go and get yourself a good pair of adjustable jack stands. Don't try to substitute anything like wood blocks or cement blocks or something like that. Wood blocks can slip out. Cement blocks could have a flaw and crack and break while you're under the car. Just buy a good set of metal jack stands and be done with it. I mean, I think they're only like $25-$30 anyway. And once you make the investment in a good pair of jack stands, you'll have them for the rest of your life. I mean, unless something drastic happens, like, you know, a car slides off of them or something and they get bent or something like that. But I don't know anybody that's ever had that happen to them. So now that you got the car all jacked up and stuff, here's a list of the things you'll need. You need to go and find out how much oil your car actually holds. And the best place to do that is to get out the owner's manual. Or if you buy a Chilton or a Haynes book, they should tell you what the capacity of your car is. Most cars are between 4.5 to 7 quarts. I just bought a car, an old Intrigue, and it holds 6.5 quarts. So that would be on the upper end, but a lot of times it's 4.5 quarts. Like any 4.3 Chevys or anything, that's what they hold. But make sure you look in your owner's manual, and make sure you look and see what weight of oil you're supposed to use. A lot of times it's on the oil filler cap, but just check and make sure in case someone maybe got an oil filler cap off a different vehicle and stuck it on yours. Next thing you're going to need is an oil filter. Go to a good parts store, get yourself an oil filter. I mean, you can even buy them at Walmart, Fleet Farm, places like that. You can get an oil filter almost anywhere. Just make sure you're buying a good quality one. Your engine will appreciate it in the end, and you'll appreciate it when you don't have to rebuild your engine. Then you're going to need yourself an oil filter wrench. I have the kind that's like a cup, and it goes on the bottom of the filter, and you use a ratchet to take it off. There are other different types, with like a strap wrench, or I think there's a couple other types, but I can't really think of them off the top of my head. But the cup wrench is probably the simplest to use. Just slips on the filter, and you turn the ratchet so it'll turn it off, and then you're all good. Then you're going to need some kind of container for the oil. Don't be cheap and try to use an ice cream pail or something like that in case your car ends up having more than 4 quarts in it, and then it'll be all over your floor. Just go to Walmart, buy yourself a container that uses to hold the oil, and then you can actually can transport the oil in the same container and take it to a parts store and get rid of it or something. And then you're going to need either a box end wrench or a ratchet. And I think most of the times it'll either be a 14 millimeter, a 15 millimeter, or a 13 millimeter on the newer cars. Or on the older cars, it'll be a half inch, 9/16. And that's probably what sizes that your drain plug will be. So once you got the car up there and you got it all ready, get your bucket underneath there and take the wrench and loosen the drain plug. And if you don't know where the drain plug is, consult a service manual. I really do advocate going and buy yourself some kind of aftermarket service manual, like a Chilton or a Haynes. It doesn't matter which. The Haynes is a little easier to read for some people. But if you don't know where it is, get yourself a manual. So now that you got your oil draining, if you are somewhere where you can get at your oil filter without getting all full oil, get that filter wrench out and get on that filter and start taking your filter off. And be very careful. When you take the filter off, you're going to leak some oil. So you don't want to have good clothes on or anything when you're doing this. And have some rags handy because it's going to be all over your hand. And once you do that, take the oil filter out, drop it in the container you're using to hold the rest of the oil. And then you're done with the draining. And kind of let your car drain. Now here's where most of the 10-minute shops don't do anything. Start looking at your grease fittings. Make sure they're all in good repair and that they're not all rusted up or anything like that. And get your grease gun out. While the car is draining, just put like 4 or 5 pumps of grease into your ball joints and your tie rod ends and any other various front end parts you can find that have grease fittings on them. Look all over the place. And if you have a pickup truck that has a rear drive shaft, go back there and look and see if there are any grease fittings back there too. When I actually grease my cars, I have 2 grease guns. I have a smaller grease gun. I think it holds a 1 ounce tube of grease, and then I have the one that holds the standard size grease cartridges. And I use the small one to get into really tight areas that you can't get into with the big grease gun. But with that being said, there aren't too many areas you can't get into with a big grease gun and a length of hose that's attached to it. And another thing is, when you're buying a grease gun, make sure you get the one that's a pistol grip type, not the one with the really huge long lever, because those suck. Because you got to hold the hose on the fitting, hold the grease gun and try to pump it at the same time. And it's almost impossible to do. But if you use the pistol grip type, you can hold it by the pistol grip and then use your other hand to hold the hose on the fitting. And it's a lot easier to use that type of grease gun. Now you're still waiting for your oil to be draining. And it should be pretty much drained by now, but why don't you stop and take a minute and go look at the rear end of your car or the front end or wherever it may be. But if you look at the rear axle, there should be a plug on it. You should open the plug up, and if any 80-90 weight comes out of that little hole, then you're good. But if anything doesn't come out, you should stop and kind of put a little more 80-90 weight. Sometimes all it takes is like a pint, but sometimes it's a quart. It depends if it's leaking or not. And you can do the same thing on the front ends of cars. A lot of the front-wheel drive cars don't have this problem because they don't have the front axle. The inputs come right out of the transmission, so you don't have to worry about that. But anything like a four-wheel drive, S10 pickup, Ford, or anything like that, you need to check the front and rear differentials every once in a while to make sure everything's all filled up and up to snuff. So now that you got all this inspection done, you've now done a better job than probably 85% of the places that you would take your oil to get changed. And if you keep up on this stuff, it's just general maintenance stuff, you should have a whole lot less problems with your vehicle. So now getting everything back together is kind of the opposite of taking it apart. You go to the new filter. Now you take the new filter and you take a little bit of your brand new motor oil out of one of your quarts and you rub it on the O-ring seal on the end of the filter. The first reason you do this is so that the filter will come off a little easier, but the second reason is sometimes if you don't do that, you can still get the filter off, but the O-ring stays stuck on the engine. And you don't want that because then when you put the new filter on and you don't see that O-ring, then it kind of mushes together and the seal will blow out and you will probably leak oil all over the place. The proper way to put an oil filter on is to tighten it up until it is about hand tight and then you give it a quarter of a turn past hand tight. And you can use your wrench to do this, but if you just get it to where it's snug and you give it like a quarter to a half a turn, you should be all right. I almost always use my filter wrench just to be sure because I don't want my filter falling off. I had that happen almost once, and it kind of sucked. Luckily, I was at home, and I noticed the oil running out into my driveway. Now go and take your drain plug and replace it. Make sure you look at the gasket that's on the drain plug and make sure it's in good shape, that it doesn't have any tears or rips or anything like that in it. So otherwise, it'll start leaking oil from your drain plug. Once you got that in, just tighten it up. Snug it up just like you'd snug up any other bolt. Just make sure it's tight so it won't come out. And then you have everything you need to do underneath the car done. Now you go up and pop the hood, or if you haven't done that already, and take your oil filler cap off and put a funnel in there and get the recommended amount of oil and just pour it in. It's really not that hard. It's actually that simple. Now let's use an S10 as an example. Say it's supposed to hold 4.5 quarts of oil. Go ahead and get all your oil put in, make sure you got it all in there, and then walk over and you start the car up. And you only need to really let it run for probably a minute, or maybe 2 minutes, depending. If you have an oil pressure gauge, watch your gauge and you'll see the gauge pop up from zero to whatever the recommended oil pressure would be. Or if you have a light, make sure that the light doesn't come on. That would indicate a problem with your oiling system. Now what I do is I take the vehicle off the jack stands or off of the jack, depending on what you've used. And then I let it run for a few more minutes, I shut it off, give it a 5 minutes to let everything drain back down to the bottom of the oil pan, and then I check the oil to make sure the oil's at the proper level. Now if it's not at the proper level, don't freak out. It's probably just because your oil filter sucked up a little bit of that extra oil. You gotta remember, you gotta fill the oil filter too. But once it says it's at the full mark, then you're all done with your oil change. It's really that easy. I know a lot of people don't do it because they think it's hard, but it's really not that hard. There ain't a whole lot of steps to doing it. Now, before you're done with your oil change, start your car up. Let it run for a little bit. Let it get warm. And check your transmission fluid level if you have an automatic transmission. You need to check it while it's running. If you check it when it's not running, you won't get the proper levels. If it's a little low on fluid, add a little fluid to it. You'll probably have to put a funnel in the dipstick hole to add the oil, but Just remember, it takes pints, not quarts. Transmissions don't need a whole lot of oil. They're a pretty self-contained system, and they don't really use oil unless you have a leak. Now, another thing to check while you got it here is your power steering fluid. Check your power steering fluid. Make sure it's not like a real nasty dirt brown color or anything like that. Make sure it's at the proper levels. If your fluid looks really nasty looking, that could indicate you're going to have problems with your power steering system, and you could have it drained out and put new fluid in, or you could drain it yourself. Another thing to do while you're doing this is to check your windshield washer fluid level. Always check your windshield washer fluid level when you're doing an oil change. Some people don't use it very much. I don't use mine a lot, but my wife uses hers quite a bit because she drives a lot more than me. But, you know, while you're there and you got it under the hood, check it, top it off. Another good fluid to check would be your antifreeze. Make sure it's up to the full mark. You know, it only takes a minute to check while you're under the hood, because if you don't have the hood open, you're not going to check it. You're not going to purposely go out and check your radiator fluid level. So these are just some things to do when you're getting everything out of the way. So with all that being said, now you've just done a full service on your vehicle to make sure everything's in good working order. It's not hard to do. Just make sure you do these things when you do every oil change, and you should have a whole lot less problems when you're on the road. And I think I'm going to wrap the show up here pretty quick, but I just want to also mention, I want to know what you guys think we should do for episode 50. So email me or leave a comment on in the show notes or something like that. Let me know what you think we should do. So with that being said, this is Jeff Radke signing off, and until next time, keep your stick on the ice.